retweet a tweet or show his face on Facebook, but Donald Trump can still file a lawsuit. Can he ever? Tonight, Trump versus social media. They helped put him into the White House, but turned on him when he didn't want to leave. And then, the end of Sha'Carri Richardson's Olympic journey. For now, anyway. The gold medal favorite won't be going to Tokyo after testing positive for marijuana. Was this the right decision? An Olympian whose gold medal was stripped away after he tested positive for pot weighs in on the controversy. How'd he get the medal back? Tonight on Banfield. Hello and welcome to Banfield. Seriously, no one expected Donald Trump to take his social media comeuppance in silence. And since he was filing lawsuits long before he ever got addicted to tweeting or texting or trolling, well, today's event at his New Jersey golf club seemed only a matter of time. The 45th president heralded the filing of several federal class action lawsuits against Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, claiming that they had violated his and other conservatives' First Amendment rights by kicking them off their platforms. I've got a blue ribbon panel in just a moment.
We're in a fight that people want us to take on. So many people have said to me, please, sir, do something about big tech. Sue them, sir, sue them. And they've been saying it to me for a long time, but there has never been a better time to do it.
Well, it is definitely time to kick this one around. Floyd Abrams is the dean of the First Amendment lawyers in this country, going all the way back to the Pentagon Papers. His most recent book is The Soul of the First Amendment. Very apt this evening. David K. Johnston is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and best-selling author of, among other works, The Making of Donald Trump. And Dan Gaynor oversees the business and culture departments of the Media Research Center. Gentlemen, thank you all three. These are three very smart voices on this topic. Okay, so Floyd, I'd like to begin with you. What are the chances that these class action suits might actually go somewhere?
I would say zero. I mean, the core of these cases is, as you just said, Ashley, that former President Trump's First Amendment rights have been violated. Nothing could be clearer in the law than only the government can violate someone's First Amendment rights. Facebook isn't the government. Twitter isn't the government. They make a passing try in the complaint to say, well, they were talking to people in the Democratic Party and things like that. But it's really not close. It is a lawsuit that surely some lawyer should have told Mr. Trump had no chance of success if he brought it for the purpose of trying to win the case. There may be other motives, political motives, raising money motives, not my table. What I'm saying is that as a First Amendment matter, this is just a non-starter.
So Dan Gaynor, Floyd Abrams makes a very good point. In fact, he makes a point that many people are making today, and that is that it is only the government that can abridge those rights, you know, not businesses. So where is the merit, in your opinion, in Donald Trump's suits?
Well, first of all, was he unfairly censored? Absolutely. It's indisputable that Facebook and Twitter, for example, intervened and censored content that ended up interfering in the election. They went after the Hunter Biden story, violating their own guidelines, their own terms of service. That's indisputable. I'm not a lawyer, but of course, I've lived through tons of so-called rights challenges in our courts that everybody said, oh, there's no right gay marriage. Remember when people said, oh, that's you've no right to that. And then, of course, people made the claims, worked through courts, and eventually things changed. So the argument that people have rights to be in the new public square, which is what the online world is a pretty compelling one. We no longer it's no longer just about free speech. Every aspect of our lives is lived online. And certainly after COVID last year, where everybody was forced into their homes, working, going to school, interacting with their government, if a very small number of social media companies can close out your entire access online, then they are shutting off the new town square. And that's basically, I think, the argument for Trump.
Well, I think it makes sense to consider these social media platforms the new town square, because there sure are a lot of town criers out there. But the key aspect there is town square, because the town owns the square and we all pay for it. And therefore, anybody who gets kicked out of the town square for speaking his mind, that would be, abridging a First Amendment right. David K. Johnson, can I ask you if there are so many legal minds in this country who do not believe that there is a chance, like a snowball's chance in hell, of these suits making any headway, why would Donald Trump do this?
Oh, this is another effort to cajole money out of them. Donald has been posing as a billionaire for years when he's not. And what he's doing here is raising more money from, as he calls the people he says he loves, the poorly educated. Legally, as as Floyd Abrams very ably pointed out, he doesn't have a case. He has no prospect of a case. And the companies that banned Trump did so because he incited violence and violated their terms of service. Just as a restaurant can throw you out for no shirt, no shoes, these organizations, in their terms of service that you agree to when you sign up, can enforce their rules. So this is really about keeping his profile up and raising money. And by the way, Donald had a social media platform. It drew fewer viewers than Little DC Report. It was a failure. So he's now trying to avoid responsibility for his failure and blame somebody else and make money off it at the same time.
I did notice that the link for the fundraising emails that went out didn't just go to Donald Trump. They actually linked to other Republicans as well. So this could end up helping raise money for not just Donald Trump, but other Republicans. So, Floyd, let me ask you this. Somebody earlier, a minute ago, just alluded to the attorneys who bring the suits. Who would do that? Because as I understand the law, and I don't even know a sliver of what you know, you can actually be in trouble for frivolous work. And some are saying that these lawyers could be exposed. Do you believe that?
I'll say first that I'm in New York City. We used to have a mayor named Rudy Giuliani, who's now been stripped of his law license, at least temporarily, because of statements he's made on behalf of then President Trump or former President Trump. So lawyers do run a level of risk. Courts are generally pretty easy. They don't like to suspend lawyers. You really have to do bad things, to get suspended, to lose your license, and the like. But do I think that this is the sort of lawsuit which is so bad, so insupportable as a legal matter? And by the way, for very good reason, this is not a technical point. The First Amendment is not just law, but it's deeply kept, adhered to, and obeyed policy in this country for the years since it was adopted. And so the notion that any court is going to say, well, look, Facebook is really important. Without Facebook, he can't be heard. Well, first, it's not true. But would it hurt him? Did it hurt him not to be on Facebook? Sure. But that doesn't mean that the government can stop him. Remember, he's the one asking for the government. He's going in front of a judge saying, enter a court order requiring Facebook to put me on. Now, that is a different sort of very dangerous sort of censorship, because they're keeping a private business from making their decision about who to include in their platform, who to let speak on their territory. I mean, we've We've come a long way in this country. We have not come to the point where Facebook is United States Facebook or New York Facebook, a government entity. It isn't. And so the case, for very good reason, will likely be thrown out rather quickly.
So, Dan, the good follow-up to that is those terms of service. We all fly through those things, right? We click them because we want to get whatever it is we're going after online. We click that box. Does anybody ever read the 50 screens? No. But you sign it. And so did Donald Trump. And so the terms of service should be something that we are all allowed to enforce in our private businesses. Don't you agree?
Well, it'd be nice if they enforced them consistently. They don't. We've got state's attorneys general looking into big tech, how they abuse their terms of service because they don't enforce them in any consistent way. They're also written, the policies of Facebook alone, their content policies are something like 17,000 words just on what we get to see, not what they have behind the scenes. And it's written in such a broad brush way. They're ridiculously unenforceable. You could drive a whole tank battalion through and not hit any of the words. It's
although you know very, what, Dan? Starbucks has the right to serve me a coffee that's good some days and not good the other days. They have the right as a private company. I mean, this is a conservative argument, right? Leave businesses to do their business and don't meddle in their business. And isn't this looking to meddle in business?
No, it's not a conservative argument to allow monopolistic businesses to control every aspect of American society. Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Google, YouTube. These are companies that are so enormously large. They're the most large and powerful companies in human history. So you know, we've used government. I mean, you know, the Trump argument. We've used government to rein in monopolies before. You know, the government went after the railroads when the railroads were too powerful. The railroads were pikers compared to the power of big tech. Facebook, just Facebook alone, has 2.9 billion users. That's more than the two most populous countries on Earth. You know, then you look at, you know, Google. Google's 92% of all search on the entire planet. And you just go down the line, YouTube, number one video, you know, platform, and just work your way through it. So we've actually used government historically when businesses get out of line, because someone, even the president of the United States, and this is the argument Trump would make, even when he was president of the United States, these companies were more powerful than he was, and they shut him down. So, no, it's not conservative to let companies do absolutely anything, step on ordinary citizens.
But it's not
well, you are
either.
Making a case for, yeah, go. You're just going to go to break, yeah. But Floyd, I think you were going to jump in there on whether it was antitrust or whether this is First Amendment. They're different.
No, we have antitrust laws. We have laws which are designed to protect against monopolistic practices, one company ruling the world. Let them bring if they dare. That lawsuit,
but they just tried and Facebook. It didn't work.
They would lose it. But it is this lawsuit, the one they brought today, the one he touted today, was supposedly rooted in the First Amendment, and that's just nonsense.
So when we come back after the break, I'm going to dig in a little bit more into this public square. I think what Dan said is interesting. And this public square doesn't have to take account for some of the stuff that's, you know, published in the public square because it's protected by something called Section 230. That's fancy. But basically, it's something that some people are disputing. Should these big tech companies have protection by the Communications Decency Act, or should it go away? Those questions next.
We'll also take this battle to the state legislatures, to Congress, and ultimately to the ballot box. And it will be a very popular one at the ballot box. I will never stop fighting to defend constitutional rights and sacred liberties of the American people. I will never stop.
Well, he said it then, and now he's putting his money where his mouth is, because Donald Trump today decided to file several class action lawsuits against the big tech companies. And with that, let's get back to our big discussion right now with my guests, the preeminent First Amendment lawyer in the country, Floyd Abrams, as well as journalist and author David K. Johnston and conservative media watchdog Dan Gaynor. So, David, right before we went to break, I mentioned this little thing that unless you follow the news all the time, you might not know what it is. It's Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, and it's been much ballyhooed by those who, you know, want that shield to be dropped for the big tech companies who don't have to take account for the things that are said on their platform. You can't sue them for it if it's awful stuff. They can't be, you know, they can't defame people because of this protection. And Donald Trump has felt like it's a thorn in his side. He wants that, by the way, dropped. He wants that to be declared unconstitutional in this lawsuit. What are the odds of that happening, either in the lawsuit or anywhere else?
Well, as a practical matter, zero and none. As a policy, that's another matter. But, you know, Donald had the opportunity when the Republicans controlled the House and the Senate to bring forth legislation that would have addressed these things. He didn't, just like he didn't bring forth an infrastructure bill or many other things. Section 230 for the audience says that when a company like Google or Facebook has something posted from someone else's publication, they're not liable for it. The original publisher of that information is liable for it. That seems to me to generally encourage more robust debate. It's certainly something I teach my law students at Syracuse about. And we need to have more robust debate. Now, I agree with Dan that we have a real problem with monopolies and not enforcing the laws on monopolies. Trump's Justice Department didn't act on it. And let me point out that when I wrote a best-selling trilogy championing competitive markets, capitalism, exposing monopolies, the conservatives in this country totally ignored what I had to say. Totally ignored it. So pardon me if I'm a little cynical and not believing that Dan and people who view the world as he does are actually serious about this issue, because I laid out for them what the problems were and what could be done about it, and they paid no attention whatsoever.
Well, Dan, that's a really interesting point. How do you respond to that?
I did respond to it. We never had companies this big or this powerful, quite frankly.
Sure, you look at the time I wrote.
No, you're absolutely not. No, sorry, you're just flat out wrong.
You're wrong. Google and Facebook.
I think I'm talking right now. So,
10 years ago.
And they were nowhere near this powerful.
It's such a ridiculous argument. You're just trying to get out of not.
I'm not getting out of anything. They've grown so powerful. And what's more is they've also started censoring. See, this is what you don't want to get. Back, you go back to about 2014 when they really started to censor, started to be very obvious. Then into the 2016 election, these companies were floored by the fact that conservatives even existed online and had any power. And when Trump won the 2016 election, no small part because of his social media presence, then they ramped up the censorship. It's been getting worse ever since. You know, we were taught. You know, many of these companies, including particularly Twitter, said this is the free speech part of the world online. So as long as they were benign companies, nobody really cared that they were powerful. Once they started inflicting their power on people, people noticed big time.
So let me pivot a little bit here to Floyd Abrams and just the precedent. I mean, there have been so many suits like this that have been thrown out or have failed. There's just a lot of, you know, examples up until now that have not proven successful in this particular arena. And then just last week, a federal judge actually blocked a law that sought to penalize tech companies that, you know, ban people running for office in the run-up to elections. So, I mean, I can't imagine where the lawyers are going to find something really meaty to chew on in litigating this.
They're not. I mean, I don't think you ought to expect that they will have anything meaty to say. That case that you just mentioned, Florida statute, based on the same sort of complaints about social media and the like, the same sort of words, censorship and the like. Thrown out. I mean, really no surprise. And that's why the same thing will happen here. But I want to be clear that it's important that we recognize why social media ought to have the rights. I'm not talking about the level of power by the amount of subscribers or monopolization, any issue like that, but that that they should have the right to make the decision about what is said on their platforms. I mean, Facebook has a policy against racist speech. Now, some of that speech is constitutionally protected, meaning the government can't punish it. But every responsible publisher, and Facebook too, says, we don't want this. We don't want this on our in our newspapers. We don't want it on television. We don't want it on our platforms. And that's true with respect to a lot of speech. So, I mean, it's not new for Facebook and its competitors to say, we don't want this. We don't want, you know, Alex Jones, you know, who sort of mocked the idea that the over 30 kids were gunned down in Connecticut. We don't want him on. And it's important that the First Amendment gives them the right not to have Alex Jones if they don't want him on. And it's important to say that at a time, January 6th and thereafter, in which President Trump, having already, whether you use the word instigated or any other word like that, certainly encouraged what became the insurrection, and was then taking the position that he really had been elected, that a responsible publisher as well as social media entity might say, you know, we just don't need that on our property. Go find something else. Find another way to communicate.
I keep coming back to the Starbucks argument. I have the right to drop F-bombs, but if I do it in a Starbucks, they have the right to kick me out because it doesn't work for their business model. And until that changes. Real quickly, David, I got to wrap it up, but tell me.
If any law student of mine had drafted these complaints, I would have called them up on the phone and read them the Riot Act. They're terribly drawn complaints. They're very bad lawyering.
Well, Floyd Abrams, David, Kate Johnson, and Dan Gaynor, I really appreciate all the wisdom and the fire that you brought tonight. Thank you, all three of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Still ahead tonight, a U.S. Olympian who was the favorite to win the gold medal for America, benched because she tested positive for marijuana. A former Olympian who had his gold medal stripped away for the very same thing, but then given back, is going to join me with his thoughts.